Jacob.
Jackson.
All right, let's try this again. Let's try this again. You know, coronavirus, man, they're killing us.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want the coronavirus doesn't want us to, you know, talk about stuff.
It's killing the people, it's killing the vibes, it's killing our moods.
Yeah. It's killing all the you know, the potential UFC matchups that everybody wants to see but can't see.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up, because this Saturday, May 9th, pro sports is kind of back.
Yeah, it's been dead since March.
Yeah, but you know, don't worry. The UFC is coming to save us with bringing us entertainment. Why? Because they're bringing us probably the most stacked card they've ever had.
And that's ironic, because no one's going to show up.
That's okay, though. That's okay. It's for us to watch at home. No one's going to be going anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Where are they fighting? I don't even know where they're like.
Florida. Jacksonville.
Florida. Jacksonville.
Yeah, they're fighting your town.
Yeah, my town.
All right, so, you know, make sure you give Dana White that warm welcome, or else he'll never come back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really. Dude, they should just go to Hawaii.
No, funny, they wanted to do a Fight Island.
Yeah, Fight Island, yeah. Fight Island, no, Hawaii.
No, because, Island. But because, so, last, 2 weeks ago, let's just say 2 weeks ago, since no state athletic commission was going to help the UFC create an event, they honestly were just going to take their, they were going to take the UFC to a remote island and not tell anybody, and basically only tell the fighters probably the week of the fight where they're going to be heading to. That way, you know, media members can leak the story and then report on it, and then potentially have their event shut down, because even before the Fight Island, they wanted to fight on Native American territory in California, because technically,
oh really,
there's some loopholes that the State Athletic Commission can't really shut them down. But then it came to the point where Governor Newsom, you know, the governor of California, had to tell their basically the UFC's bosses now, Disney, shut the event down. You're not gonna risk you know, adding to the pandemic by wanting to put on a UFC event.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that, you know, I'm worried about the fighters catching coronavirus. It's mostly their corner, the people who have to work the event, cameramen.
Yeah, yeah.
So pretty much everyone who's helping make the show run, they're the ones that are in danger. Yes, the fighters too, but maybe not necessarily the fighters are going to be the ones that are going to catch it and suffer these consequences. It's everybody else who probably doesn't have the strength of their immune systems.
Yeah, it's just crazy, you know. I just find it kind of funny, just because, like, you know, so many, like, the NBA is just like, the NBA is trying so desperately to like put events on or try and get some games back, yeah, or like do the combine.
Like they're trying to do the horse.
Yeah, they're trying to do the derby. They're trying to, you know, baseball is a little bit more realistic, and I'm not just trying to say that because I'm biased. I'm just saying that because, you know, they've come up with a weird plan. They're doing three divisions of like 10 teams. They're going to states where it's not as bad. And then too, if you think about it,
but I think the problem is with that is that it's not necessarily about playing the game, but remember, you got to rest.
Yeah.
So where are they going to stay? Where are these players going to stay?
Yeah, no, that's the hard part.
So it's good to find out what's the safest way possible to have games up and running, but there's so much that goes into these events.
Yeah.
Which
is crazy. So
how do you social distance everybody? There's a lot of thought that I don't think there's more thought that has to go into these games just in order to be as safe as possible.
Yeah, and like I was saying, I'm like, you know, go to Hawaii. Hawaii is not that bad right now. if it has it at all.
Right,
and like, also, you know, Dana White.
Right, but also
Fight Island.
Right, but they weren't even gonna. They probably weren't even gonna go to Hawaii.
That's crazy.
Because also,
why not?
Also,
that's what I just.
But also, here's the fact. Well, I mean, all state athletic commissions were complying that there was gonna be no sporting events going on. So even if they go to Hawaii, the state athletic commission of Hawaii was gonna tell them no.
That's rough, man.
So yeah, if you're going against the orders of the state athletic commission, you're basically breaking the law.
Yeah, and so they're trying to do it in Florida, right?
Yes, and so Florida's going to happen because the governor of Florida is going to reopen. I think he already reopened the state.
Oh, really? Yeah. So Florida's the place to be right
now. And Jacksonville, the county of Jacksonville in that area, is there have been a low amount of coronavirus cases that have been reported. So that was seen as the positive, like, okay, like the probability of catching the coronavirus won't be that high. But then 3 days or so before this past weekend, I forgot which journalists reported that the state of Florida has also been hiding or has also been hiding the amount of cases that are actually in Florida. So the numbers that they're reporting are a lot lower, but they're also making sure that all the real number doesn't get out.
Yeah.
So at that point, wow. Okay. One, what's the real number? Two, what area is it? Because what if they're lying about how many cases are actually in Jacksonville?
Yeah. No, I hope they're not, because that'll start a whole new.
Right, and then also the states that have reopened, they've seen a dramatic increase in coronavirus cases and a dramatic increase in deaths. So yes, you want to put sports back on TV. But you better know the risk, because then you expose all the essential or everyday workers that have to work. So if you're willing to take that risk, then, you know, be our guest. Because as soon as the state of Georgia opened up again, they saw an 80% increase in coronavirus cases.
Yeah, that was bad.
Right,
that
was really right. Bad. That's also because they thought the social distancing was and the quarantine was too dramatic. So that's the harsh reality of thinking that, you know, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, no, I get it. To me, it's kind of funny because, like, the NBA is trying to open, and I'm like, you can't open the NBA again, and they're trying so hard to do it. And, like, you know, MLB is trying so hard. I'm like, I get that you guys want to, you know, play sports again, so to give the people something, but, you know, it's not that easy. And they're pushing it so far.
And then makes it worse is for the UFC. These fighters are independent contractors. They don't get paid until. And yes, we found out that Dana White paid the fighters for UFC London weeks after. You know, there's fighters who went to London, who flew to London and found out as they arrived. The event's canceled. They left. Her name. I think Ashley Evans Smith. Yeah, when she arrived to London, and then she, like an hour into arriving, she found out. Yeah, the UFC canceled the event. So
that must have been so disheartening.
Yeah, and then but she had to pay for her flight back. She's not making that kind of money where she can just get a flight immediately. And so I think she had a she was stealing I think she got caught stealing supplies in London because, you know, she couldn't afford to like get to stay in England for a while on her money, and then also buy a plane ticket to get back. And then some fighters weren't getting paid till later. Some fighters, you know, who for future events. They're not getting paid because the events are postponed and not canceled.
Yeah, and you know, you can't, you know, you got to run through a whole camp. You got to
the whole camp.
You know, do everything right.
Some of these fighters, you know, they're also coaches. They're also instructors. You know, but they can't teach anymore like the way they used to, because people aren't going to the gym anymore. You're not teaching the kids anymore. Yeah, they're teaching the self-defense classes anymore.
Yeah, but they can't run the gym. They can't, you know, work. They can't do nothing.
So a lot of these fighters are, you know, a lot of fighters are impacted. That sucks. But it would be nice. It would have been, you know, if it would still be nice right now that if you had some type of union where you can get some, you know, some minimum type of income.
Maybe that'll change.
Because, you know, a lot of media members who talk to these fighters about these things say they don't care. It's hard.
All right.
It's hard to
care. Yeah, no.
It's hard to care when the sport's too individual when it comes to competition. Yes, you have a team to help you prepare, but man, you're only competing for yourself.
Yeah, man. So how's LA right now? Because the weather here in New York has been terrible.
Well,
it's been raining.
Right now we are have nothing but sunny, and I think right now we're in the 80s.
Are you going to the beach
yet? No, the beaches had to be closed down last week. All the governor had to shut down all beaches because people were still going to the beach.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you?
Right, but social distancing. Like, I mean, no.
Well, you can be socially distant at the beach.
No, you can't.
Well, I mean, yeah, if a lot of people are there, yeah.
Exactly. And in Southern California, who doesn't want to go to the beach when you have the day off for work or you don't have to go to school?
Yeah.
That's the reason why the governor had to shut down the beaches, because everybody was acting like it was 4th of July weekend or Memorial Day weekend. Everybody acting like it was summer break, and it's not.
I saw this. Meme. I guess I sent it to you. It's Kramer celebrating 4th of July outside of his door.
Oh yeah,
in his apartment building, and that's gonna be everybody. They're just gonna be inside, like they're just gonna be inside grilling hot dogs on their grill. That's about it. No fireworks shows or anything for people.
Can you imagine? There's still fireworks shows. Like, you gotta imagine. Who set up these fireworks and we're all still like in lockdown?
Yeah, you like, know, people are gonna find
out. No, but like, you like, still have no, them. Like, you know, when like this, like the city or a town officiates like a fireworks show, or like, you gotta wonder, like, you know, because some people want to set up fireworks for the local communities. Like, man, who went out of their way to go to the middle of nowhere and just set up fireworks for everyone?
Yeah, it's crazy. I realized too that like we're like less than 2 weeks away from like graduating, put that in air quotes.
Right.
And I'm like, damn, what happens after that? Then I'll really have nothing to do.
I guess we're gonna keep going with the show.
Yeah. Get a job. Get a job as a delivery driver.
Yeah, Uber Eats and DoorDash.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'll make bank that way, man.
But
because it was funny because I was doing the family Zoom the other day. We have to do a family Zoom. Everybody tunes in, and one of my uncles goes, "Are you graduating?" And I'm like, "Yeah." and he was like, "How's that? Are you disappointed?" I'm like, "No, I don't really care about like walking and doing the ceremony and hearing like 5,000 names being called." Sitting in the hot sun for 3-4 hours
with clothes and a gown.
Yeah, just send me that diploma. I'm good, man. I'm good. And then, you know, and then after that, like some, then after that, like, you know, you don't have to worry about graduation parties. You don't have to worry about, you know, you don't have to worry about grades right now.
I mean, you do have to worry about grades. And, like, you can't do so bad that you get an F and then you can't graduate anymore.
Oh yeah, that's true. You got to at least pass. Pass fail, kid.
Pass fail, or just, you know, get above. Just get the C or above. At this point, our college lives are ending. So, I mean, the C, the B minus doesn't look as bad as before.
Yeah, no.
No, the B minus does not look disappointing compared to when we were freshmen.
Yeah, that's true.
And then if you
no, because like I'm,
and if you and if your grades
I'm,
if people complain if your parents complain your grades slip, hey, Corona.
Yeah, Corona, we're coronavirus parents.
Yeah, like you know, like hey, you know,
I was under a lot of stress.
You just said, hey, I had that A in person because the you know it's easier to learn in person than when in. And then you know, the Corona hit. Ooh, I'm not an online learner. Ooh, like or somehow the lessons were lost.
I was under a lot of stress, you know, in class. Like, oh, you were sleeping till 12 o'clock every day. I was still under a lot of stress.
Yeah, they were giving us work, and then I don't know how to do the work if I'm not in class and then showing me how to do the work. I can't read a slideshow and then all of a sudden I'm an expert at work.
Yeah, no, because I'm sitting in these classes nowadays, and I'm just like, I'm done, bro. I'm not even listening. I'm just tuning in for attendance. That's about it.
Yeah, especially today.
Yeah, today was rough. Today was literally, like, we had, like, 20 presentations, guys. We were literally just, you know, sitting there. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I was trying to, like, do some other assignments, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is very long.
No, let's tell everybody the quick story real quick. So we were in sports analytics class, and we had to do a project where it was a breakdown of anything we wanted. It could be a player. It could be a specific play. It could be like, you know, a specific sequence of whatever we wanted.
Right.
You know?
So for example, I chose a boxing route. I decided to break down Manny Pacquiao and how he throws his punches. Jackson, you decided to do Giancarlo Stanton and his batting stance.
Yeah, you know how it changed from Miami to New York. You know why did it change? And I put in the factors that oh he got hit in the face. You know, that changed it. And, like, you know, he changed it because, like, he's in the AL now, the short porch in Yankee Stadium. So, you know, that was good. You know, we were doing okay considering we weren't really good at using the technology.
Right, and it was kind of – and it's not like, you know, Professor Hedlund could have actually showed us how to do it, like, the way we probably would have hoped at the beginning of the semester.
Yeah.
But we managed.
We managed. So, you know, we're going along. And then this girl in the class, I don't know her too well, but she's in my group. But, you know, granted, we didn't do a whole lot of group work before. her name's Lisa. You know,
Lisa.
And Lisa. And she was she's a big time Yankee fan, you know, she's from the Bronx. Represent
exactly. So and, she kind of her sport is baseball. That's her bread and butter, you know. So allegedly.
Yeah, and then you know she decided to do a breakdown of Clayton Kershaw. You know your hometown Dodgers.
Exactly.
Your man. Exactly.
That my team, my pitcher, the guy's probably gonna have a statue one day.
Exactly. He's probably one of the best pitchers of the 21st century.
I mean, considering the 21st century is only 20, it's only 19 years, he probably is the best pitcher of this century.
Yeah, exactly.
A decade of dominance. So go into it, Jackson. Get into it.
She's doing a breakdown. And, you know, she's doing all right. She's breaking down, like, his fastball, his curveball, his slider. And then she decides to break down his knuckleball.
Okay. Hold on. Let me stop it right there.
Clayton Kershaw.
So, yeah, so she decides, you know, to break down the differences in his pitching delivery and the stance from how it's a fastball. But she didn't break down the curveball and the slider. She just decided to do the fastball and just the knuckleball. All she did.
I wasn't paying attention.
I remember I texted you like, what is going on right now? And you were like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I was late for class.
But don't worry, I can fill you in. Yeah, so it was just a side by the intro was the side by side of Kershaw throwing the fastball and Kershaw throwing this so called knuckle. Here's the problem.
Yeah, because he doesn't throw a
knuckle. He has no knuckle. He can probably throw a knuckle sandwich, but not a knuckleball.
Because we were sitting there like, wait a minute. Are we missing something?
For a split second, she made me feel a little embarrassed and disappointed in myself. If this is true, like, man, like, how come I have never noticed this? I thought I cared.
Yeah, you've been watching him for 10 years. You, of all people, should be watching.
Yes, and then I got to the point where, like, no, like, I had to make sure that I remembered correctly that his pitching coach on the Dodgers that he only has a fastball, a slider, and a curveball. That's all he throws.
He does not throw a knuckleball, people.
He doesn't. But then you also pointed out maybe she meant his Ephus pitch.
Yeah, because he's thrown an Ephus pitch before. He pulls it out every once in a while.
Now, for some people who probably don't understand, can you explain to us what an Ephus pitch is? Like the most basic way you can explain.
An Ephus pitch is just an extremely slow, but an extremely breaking curveball. Like you've heard the term 12-6 curveball because of the fact that like a clock, it goes from 12-6.
Yes.
This like an Ephus pitch is like 16-8 or whatever. If that makes sense. You know, it goes from like 16 inches to 8 inches. Okay. Not like that's just a random thing.
So it can go pretty high and then all of a sudden it just goes really low, it's going very slowly.
Extremely slow. It's almost.
It looks like a hybrid between a changeup and a curveball.
Yeah, it's almost like he just threw one in there, and it was so slow that it just started breaking.
If anything, the best way to describe how slow it is, like imagine a dad playing catch with his like 6 or 7 year old son or daughter.
Yeah, exactly. And underhand.
Yeah, the underhand, if you want to overhand it, but you want to do it really softly. You're gonna make it go high that way, like it can come low to the glove.
It almost the way Clayton's thrown it, it's almost like he's not trying to reach the plate.
Right.
It's like he's trying to like make it. It's like he's trying to like spike the ball almost.
Yeah, and even to the point, sometimes it looks like he just didn't have a good grip for his curve.
Yeah,
and he just threw it and say, but this isn't the way I want to throw my curveball. Oh well, here we go.
Yeah, and then so I'm sitting there watching the presentation, and I'm like just baffled because I'm like, look, I get it, you know, he's a great pitcher and all, but he doesn't throw a knuckleball, and I'm like sitting here like guys who throw knuckleballs, they don't throw like 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. They don't throw like a sick breaking slider. They throw like knuckleballs.
They throw changeups.
They throw like yeah.
Or just
have you ever seen? Yeah. Look up the way someone who throws a knuckleball pitches. It looks like he's just gonna like lob it in there. His windup is not intense. It's not like fast. It literally looks like he's just gonna like throw it in there, like he's playing catch.
Right, because
and then
because even though Kershaw doesn't have amazing velocity on his fastball, it's respectable velocity at 94, 93, but his curveballs are anywhere between the low to the mid 80s, and his slider gets up to almost like 87, 88.
A knuckleball pitcher is barely in the 80s.
Right, and so the fact that he commands so much velocity on his curve and slider, that's even the pitch that she showed, it was too fast to be a knuckle, and the ball was rotating way too much for it to be a knuckleball.
Yeah, a knuckleball does not rotate. In case anybody
right, so,
did not know
so
that.
When you see a pitcher throw the ball, you can in slow motion, you can always see the ball just rotate and rotate and rotate, but the knuckleball just stays still. So the fact that it was rotating, that's not a knuckle.
And so, like, I'm like, we're texting each other, and you're like, to me, I'm triggered right now.
Yes, I did because this is my team. And I even had to tell her, she's got to stick to her Yankees. I guarantee she can break down Severino. She can break down Tanaka. Maybe she could have broken down, she could have broken down CeCe.
Exactly, she could have done anybody else.
I guarantee she knows the Yankees the way Joe Torre knew the Yankees.
Yeah, and like what baffled me even more was the fact that our professor Hedlund, who's worked in sports for 20 years, who's
as an analyst, breaking down this footage.
how does he not know that Clayton Kershaw does not throw a knuckleball? Like, I understand if you're not a hometown fan.
Or baseball wasn't your expertise. It's not mine. It's not mine.
I think, like, most people can know, how many knuckleball pitchers are in the game nowadays, and there aren't. I don't think there are any at the
moment. I'm not even sure that even on MLB The Show that's one of his pitching options.
No, it's not. Like, and Clayton Kershaw, like, he's probably the most. He's probably one of the most well-known pitchers. Yeah,
that's the pitcher, right there.
Yeah, like. How do you not know that? And I'm like, Professor, you're telling me right now that you're buying this? Like you actually think he throws a knuckleball? I know you're a basketball, soccer,
and football,
type of guy. Yeah, but you're telling, like, that's like saying, oh yeah, Mike Trout's bunt game is just ridiculous. He gets bunt base hits all the time. Like,
really? When?
No, he doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, when?
But I'm going to say she did a good job in pointing out the differences in how he throws how he throws the fastball. But I'll say instead of the knuckle, just a breaking ball.
Yeah, like I was a little baffled. It's like saying that LeBron James is a great free throw shooter, or Ray Allen was when he had to shoot lefty, he was great at shooting lefty. It's like he never did that. Like, come on, people.
That's the rant that we needed to just get out there. This was our therapy session because, man, that was pretty obvious. Like, it was not true.
It's just not true. It was very weird. And like I was like I said, I was late to class, and you were texting me like, "Do you see this shit? Do you see it?" I'm like, "What?" I'm like, he doesn't throw a knuckleball. I'm like, "Dude, what are you talking about?" He's like, "Are you not in class right now?" I'm like, "Oh shit, I'm not in class right now. Hold on." And then I tune in, and it's like, "Oh yeah, Kershaw, his knuckleball." I'm like, "Am I sleeping right now? Am I in a dream? Because this doesn't seem real. Like, it's so weird."
I almost felt like my claims to knowing a little something about baseball had to be thrown out the window if it was true that he has a knuckle. How would you feel if you found out that she was telling the truth and he has a knuckle that we never knew about?
Then she's like the ultimate.
She's got
like,
that eye. She has that eagle or that hawk eye right there.
Yeah, really. Because I'm like, I thought I knew something, but like if she knows that he has a knuckleball and no one else does. What does that say about her? But,
that says she needs to be the scout.
Yeah, no, but she's
like,
wrong.
Lisa, you did a very good job of showing the differences in the stances. We'll give you credit with that because the stances are different. But the pitch, nah.
Nope.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay. Nope. But then again, I didn't want to say that she was wrong? Yes. During class, yes. But here's the thing. But what if I affected her grade?
Yeah, you would have sabotaged her.
What if she went from the A to the B or the B plus? Like, oh wow, I did not think I was gonna affect your grade. Oh man, oops.
Yeah, no, that's why you're right to bite your tongue. You can just tell me. You can tell me.
Yeah, but at least, I don't doubt your baseball. That you know your baseball, but you didn't know about Kershaw's just three pitch game.
He doesn't throw like four or five different things. He's got a simple three pitch.
Not Roger Clemens.
No, three pitch repertoire. That's it.
And that's all he's needed for his whole career.
Yep. They get three Cy Youngs and an MVP later. Doesn't need much else.
Right.
You know what was funny though? I was on YouTube the other day because not much to do. So I found that Gary, Keith, and Ron, the famous, fabulous Hall of Fame broadcasting trio for the New York Mets, they were calling a video game.
Oh really?
it was the virtual season. You know, it was Mets versus Astros, DeGrom on the mound. And like they were calling it like it was a real game. It was like an hour and a half long because I guess that's how long the game took. And it was so funny because it was like the real deal. And like they were like talking about, they were breaking down swing. They were breaking down DeGrom's pitches in the game. And I'm like, this is funny.
You gotta do what you gotta do to stay on board.
Yeah, man.
All right, so.
And like.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. My bad.
No. And I was, I've been checking out, we were talking about the UFC.
Yes, I wanted to get back to that. But instead of criticizing these moves, maybe we should appreciate that we're going to have some sports and also, we got some fights coming up.
Yeah, because I was getting ready for it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to dip my toe back in. So because you're so nice, you gave me your UFC fight pass.
Yes, I did. And also, have you been using my ESPN Plus?
I have been, not for a couple weeks, but I have been. I've been watching some 30s. All right, yeah, 30s.
See, you're welcome, buddy.
Because thank you. Because I completely missed the debut of Michael Jordan's The Last Dance. So when all 10 episodes come out, then I'll go on ESPN and then I'll watch them.
So we'll talk about that once they're all released and once you watch them all. We'll get into that Last Dance discussion.
Yeah, but so I've been watching like The Ultimate Fighter.
You've been watching the original season? You watching the original season?
I finished season one last
night. Did you also watch the fights? The finale fights?
Yeah, no. Now I understand why Stephen Bonner Stephen and Horace Griffin both got Stephen contract. Bonner. Stephen Bonner, sorry. They say some say Stephen, some say Stephen.
Right, his name, for clarification, it's Stephen Bonner.
But I understand why they both got contracts. Considering
the UFC was still not seen as a legitimate organization yet, MMA wasn't a real sport here in North America. Man, that fight was really good.
That fight got fight of the year, and it's in I know you don't like it, but
they're fight Hall of Fame. Yeah,
people didn't know it's in the fight Hall of Fame where that particular fight.
It's considered an all-time great fight, a classic, an instant classic. To their credit, it is because considering that the MMA that was on at the time, the technique wasn't all there compared to today. So if you compare it to today, it's a sloppy fight. No. But you know what? That was two guys throwing it down for 15 minutes. That is something we can all appreciate. Two guys just decided to just trade leather and go for it for a whole fight, that's always appreciated.
Oh yeah, and then I watched I rewatched Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus
Jędrzejczyk. Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Yeah, it's like Coach K. It's like Coach K. It's like Krasinski.
Whatever. And
Zhang Weili, good fight too.
Zhang Weili, because I'm not going to spoil it for everybody, but Joanna's head, she looked like Frankenstein. It was so.
She looked like the alien in Futurama.
Yeah, and I remember when we were watching it at the time. I was like,
is it the alien from American Dad that she looked like?
Yeah. Like her head was so swollen, it was so bad. I thought like she was literally gonna like start leaking or something.
The people who were at the fights, they heard in the media like every time she got hit, you can hear her scream in pain. And like, I bet with the adrenaline rush, she's not gonna feel the full effects. But oh my gosh.
Her head was
she was in pain the next day. I guarantee you, she shed a couple tears on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and then I rewatched the Ben Askren Jorge Masvidal fight.
What fight? There has to be some pushback for a fight.
The fight between
the ref and Masvidal was more competitive than Masvidal and Askren. Man, trying to push Jorge off of Ben was more of a fight than Ben fighting.
Oh yeah. Oh man.
But
So no, but I'm ready. I'm ready for. I'm ready for.
For those who don't know who's gonna be fighting this Saturday, there are two title fights on the line. The main one is the interim title for Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje. That's the.
You want to know what I love about that fight?
It's gonna be violent.
Well, that too. But like, if Tony,
he'll be the only two-time interim champ in the history of the UFC.
Yeah, he'll be the two-time interim champ. That's pretty depressing. Yeah, that is depressing. And then he'll have no choice but to try and.
What do you mean? He has no choice. No, the UFC has to make that. No, Tony's been wanting that.
The UFC has no choice.
They have a choice, because for some reason, even though he's the one that had the title, and it was no one's fault that he got hurt, they strip him, and then all of a sudden Khabib wins the whole vacant title. But you know what? I love this fight, but then I hate this fight.
Why? Because it's the first time that me and you don't agree on who wants.
No,
who wants
because to win. I hate that this is. As great as a matchup this would be, they don't get the best version of a camp. They don't get the benefit of having so many sparring partners, having so many wrestling partners, being able to just strength and condition the way they would normally do.
Well,
right, but you don't know. See, you have to be a lot more careful and selective about how.
Well, Tony is never he
grapples. He grapples a lot. He doesn't spar that kickboxing and like the MMA sparring, but that jiu-jitsu rolling, he can't have the normal amount of bodies the way he would like.
You remember during the press conference right before the world went into the dark ages, he's like, I'm gonna be sparring for the first time. But, I forget what email he used, but he's like blah 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 at gmail.com. Send me a resume.
Yeah, and that goes to show you, like, even though he wants to treat, even though he talks about how this is just another fight to him. No, this goes to show you how much the Khabib fight is, how important it is. Because man, like this, like basically everything you've worked for these last 4 or 5 years, man, like if you lose. Man, like, it doesn't matter how good you were. A lot of people who don't really care, they're just going to see you day to day. You're like, you failed. This is your shot and you failed. Like, it doesn't matter how hard it was to get to the final stage. You didn't get past the final stage. All this hype about you being better than Khabib, guess what? You're not better than Khabib. Got it? You gotta do everything at this point now to make sure that you can beat him. But you don't get Khabib. You got Justin Gaethje.
Khabib stuck in Dagestan.
And I love this matchup because, it's violence. They have, I believe Justin Gaethje when he says he's not scared to die in the octagon. I believe it because he's always come to fight like he's ready to die in the cage. Since before he was in the UFC, to when he fought Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier and lost, he was ready to take a beating to make sure that he can win or lose. Doesn't care. So I believe him, but the fact that he doesn't get a whole training, a real training camp, a proper training camp for a Tony Ferguson, that's why I don't like it, because he has to train at the best under these circumstances.
Do you think that like a lot of pay-per-views are going to be bought because of the fact that
I think it's just hard to still sell it to casual fans because they don't have that kind of name, and also at the same time a lot of people are unemployed.
Well, I get that.
Remember, pay-per-views, you need an ESPN Plus subscription, and two, a lot of people get the pay-per-views go on. Nowadays you buy pay-per-views off of ESPN Plus, and remember, this is still $75, $85, and you don't know if you have $75, $85 to spend anymore. Because what if you're unemployed? You have still a lot of bills to pay, despite, you know, not a lot of money coming in.
Yeah, well, I guess, well, I'm lucky. Both my parents,
Yeah, I'm fortunate to have two working parents as well. And also, we're also fortunate to know that, you know, there's some, you know, well, there's going to be a way to watch these fights.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to watch them because I have nothing better.
Exactly. And these fights are going. This fight's going to be amazing. Now, you say you're rooting for Tony.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Tony, man. I like.
You know, I want Tony to get a shot against Khabib. I really do. He earned that 2 years ago.
I mean, I'll admit he's crazy.
Hey, but that's what makes him so good. These great fighters are not normal. Fighters are not normal.
No, I get it.
But I'm rooting for Justin because I think his style is so much like Khabib's that it'll be interesting to see what happens when Khabib fights a guy like him. Now, what do I mean by that? Justin Gaethje was a great wrestler in college. Didn't go to a big college on a D1 scholarship like to a Penn State, Oklahoma State. I think he went to Northern Colorado. Still an All-American wrestler. Now, he has a very strong base. With his frame, he's going to be really strong in the clinch. He doesn't look all ripped up. He looks like he's got that all natural, like country farmer type of strength. But since he has big shoulders, he can put double underhooks on you, and he can stop that wrestling a little bit. So his wrestling is for defense. He's not the wrestler to go in there and take you down, ground and pound you like Khabib. No, his wrestling is to make sure, let me make sure you can't take me down, so I can keep it on the feet and I can hit you with my right hand. So he might be the one wrestler in this division that is strong enough to make sure that Khabib gets frustrated with the wrestling.
Yeah, I'm eager to see it because
he's not going to be scared to eat a few punches that Khabib throws. Khabib has some good hands. He has some very respectable setups to that overhand right. But Justin Gaethje has a great setup to his right hand too. How does he set it up? He sets it up with the jab, and he sets it up with calf kicks. So he'll be. Doesn't matter how much Justin Gaethje is hurting, he's gonna be kicking. If he fights Khabib, he's kicking those calves. He's gonna try to beat up Khabib any way possible. Doesn't care if he gets on his back because he works. Because I know he's worked. I know he's a good enough wrestler to be able to get up and cause some separation. Can he do that for 25 minutes? Probably not. But if he can do it, but if he can do it in the first round and catch Khabib, you know, a little lazy on the entrance of a takedown, who knows? Maybe he can finish him. And he's got the power to finish Khabib. And also, remember that right hand Anthony Pettis landed on Tony?
Yeah,
considering Anthony Pettis doesn't have strong hands and doesn't have good boxing, I can't imagine what happens if it's Justin Gaethje landing a nice, beautiful right hand on Tony's face.
Tony probably
if he almost got knocked out by Pettis, what happens if he gets hit by Gaethje in the first round when Gaethje's, you know, fresh? Scary.
That's
scary first round.
I imagine that Tony will just, you know, he'll be forced to try and get him in a triangle. Oh, but
you know, no, you don't know Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje, if you're better on the ground, if you got that jiu-jitsu on your back, you know what he tells you? Get up. Immediately, get up. He drops Tony, but he knows that Tony can recover, he'll just step back and tell you to get up. Tell you to get up. And why am I going to risk you? Why am I going to let you recover? No. If you're going to be hurt and you're not knocked out yet, like, guess what? You better trade with me.
No, it's a smart strategy.
That's a smart fighter. You know, make sure that don't fall for those traps. But Tony, he got elbows, spinning elbows, walking knees, sweeps. Oof, that's a good fight. That's gonna be that's fun. That's called a fun fight right there. All right, but also like I said, there's two title fights. The bantamweight title is on the line at 135. Got Triple C.
Triple C. Oh, Henry Cejudo.
Oh,
he's coming back from that shoulder and ankle injury, and he's fighting the greatest 135 pounder of all time, Dominic Cruz.
He's fighting Mighty.
That's 125. Mighty Mouse is 125. Yeah, 135. Cejudo moved up after when he was going to try to have the rematch with Dillashaw. They were going to, they decided to, they were going to make the rematch at 135. So that way Cejudo has a chance to chase history. But then when,
Mighty Mouse
was a flyweight, 125. Yes, that's where Cejudo won his first title. And then he went up to bantamweight to fight TJ Dillashaw. Well, in a rematch, because apparently everyone felt it was unfair, even though he got dropped three times. So they were going to do the rematch at 135, but then we found out that TJ Dillashaw has had EPO in his system, which is a performance-enhancing drug. So he got suspended for 2 years, and he got stripped.
Yep, and,
and the number one contender at bantamweight was Marlon Moraes, was a killer at 135. So they fought for the interim title, for the vacant title, sorry, for the vacant title. And Cejudo won by a third round TKO. And that's how he became the champ. But he calls himself Triple C because he also has that Olympic gold medal. And he's the youngest American Olympian to win a gold medal in wrestling. So he called him, Triple C because he's a champ. And now now he's going to be fighting Dominic Cruz to defend his title. And Dominic Cruz, I don't care what anybody says, he is the greatest 135 pounder of all time. He was miles ahead of the game before everybody else, considering that he blew out both of his. Put into context, in his prime, at the beginning of his prime, blew out his ACL. Unfortunate, especially for a guy who uses his legs all the time. And then in rehab, blows it out again. And then in the second rehab, I think he blew out his other ACL. And then he tore his hamstring.
It's like a Tegan Knox story.
Eventually he had to be stripped, unfortunately. And then when he finally came back, he won a fight in 60 seconds. And then he was going to get his chance to fight TJ Dillashaw at the time. And I think he tore, that's what, either he tore his ACL or his hamstring. So he had one. So he had one fight in about 3 years that lasted a minute. And then after a whole year plus of waiting, got his title shot against TJ Dillashaw. And he beat TJ Dillashaw, considering he's only had one minute in the octagon in 4 years. Yes, good and then him, he defended his title against Uriah Faber in the trilogy, beat him easily, and then he unfortunately lost to Cody Garbrandt at the end of 2016.
Uriah Faber is like
he's a California dad. You should stop calling himself a California kid. Dude, you're 40. You're 40, you're not a kid anymore.
Yeah, he's 40.
You're a man. Yeah, you're not a kid anymore. You're a man. You're 40. We're coming after you.
I'm a man.
Yeah, come after me. I'm 40. I'm a man. I'm 40. Exactly. You're right. You can't be a kid anymore. You already have a kid. That's the California kid right there. Your son. But yes, Cody Garbrandt beat Dominic Cruz in a very pretty easily decision. And then TJ beat Cody, and then Cejudo wins the vacant title. So since 2016, Dominic Cruz has not fought. And since 2016, Dominic Cruz has not had a win. And then unfortunately he's had more leg injuries, had a shoulder. He's tore his rotator cuff. He has a very fragile body. And yes, he's always being active. He's been out of rehab and training, so he's not out coming off the couch. If anything, he's like the fighter. In the movie The Fighter, when Mickey Ward fought the guy coming off the couch. So he's fighting the guy. He's fighting the guy who's in shape. So Cejudo's fighting is going to be fighting a Dominic Cruz who is in shape. But I don't think he's in 25 minutes of fighting shape. But that's what we will see on Saturday. And so, but Cejudo is probably going to be in 25 minutes of fighting shape because originally he was supposed to be fighting Jose Aldo to defend his title. So now that he went from fighting the greatest 145 pounder ever to now fighting the greatest 135 pounder ever. And these are still two matchups that nobody thinks are good, but under these circumstances, hey, why not?
Yeah. Well, you need something. You know, I would give anything for some baseball right now, but so I'm assuming all fight fans, almost don't really care.
I mean, fight fans care, you know, to a degree they won't care, but you know what? This is fun, especially because Dominic Cruz is an amazing trash talker. So that cringy trash talking that Cejudo has, step aside, man. Let me show how the big boys talk. Yeah, man, you can't even get past. You can't even get to the big boys table because you're 5 foot two. Come on, man. But it should be an interesting night, and then you also have some other good fights on the card. Like, turns out the Cowboys fighting again. Yeah, having a rematch with Anthony Pettis.
Yeah, we are.
I'm actually torn. Because Anthony Pettis really? Is pretty washed up too. So that's why it's pretty interesting considering that, you know, as washed up as Cowboy is, finally, Anthony Pettis, in my opinion, is better than Cowboy, but considering both these guys are really just at this point, like, they're not going to get any better, this is an even fight.
I don't know, man. I don't have any faith in Anthony Pettis anymore.
I think I honestly. You know he's old because he finally got submitted. Considering he's really good at fighting off submissions, the fact that he got submitted in his last fight by a choke, he's at the point where, you know what? He's not going to be a contender anymore.
CM Punk could probably come out of retirement.
All right. Stop being disrespectful. That's just as good as saying LeVar Ball can beat anybody who was on the Dream Team at a 1-on-1. Stop it.
Did all three of them?
Yes, all three are with Rock Nation.
Rock Nation. And I think LaMelo entered the draft.
Is he eligible this year? Yeah, a lot of people were saying the early draft reports that he was going to be the first or the second overall pick. He's good. He's good.
Yeah,
the very few moments where LeVar is actually really serious about basketball, he is serious when he says that LaMelo is the best ball. He's not lying when he says that my youngest is the best player. Not lying. I also think that he plays with a lot more confidence than his other brothers.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He thinks he's the
greatest maybe that's what Lonzo's lacking. Maybe Lonzo doesn't approach the court in the game like I'm the greatest thing since Jordan, but his youngest brother does.
Yeah.
You know, attitude can go a long way.
Yeah, man. It just feels confident.
We'll see if, you know, when the NBA finally comes back. We'll see how good LaMelo is.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? He doesn't have to come into the NBA tomorrow. Not like I was expecting him tomorrow, but it's okay. Yeah. But what I was expecting tomorrow was, you know, some more NBA playoffs. Lakers make it to the finals against Milwaukee. What about them? They can go to the barbershop and you know, mess with the Clippers.
I don't know, man. They could have gone all the way.
Kahoo? PG-13? Who? You're right. You know, he's still a kid, not a man. You can't make it to those rated R movies because he's PG-13. No, I'm saying that right now. Yeah, he's still got restrictions on him. PG-13, not R. You know, I try to come up with the pun, but you know, that's the best I got right now. Thank you.
That's
you know,
pretty good.
You know, guys, a little rough around the edges, but you know, we can make it work. Yeah. Not yeah. And who? I don't know who you're talking about. He dead to me. He's dead to me. Fooling, trying to play with my emotions like a Laker fan like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Yeah. Well, no, I one of the reasons why I've grown to not like SportsCenter is that they highlight some of the weirdest and like the stupidest things, and they're so like I don't know what the term is. They're so like an insider. They're like, what does this mean? You know, is this going to impact stuff? They said that Kawhi like bought a house in Southern California, I think, when he was still with the Spurs. I'm like, oh, is he gonna come to the Clippers or the Lakers?
And I'm but then again, they had nothing to talk about. Like nothing that the casual viewer wanted to listen to. They had nothing to talk about for a while. Like as much as people like That's as much bad. As you want to say, like, yeah, talk about some baseball. One, how much baseball do these guys know? And two, how many people are actually gonna care about baseball talk? During the middle of the season, yeah.
They don't know nothing.
Like that's just the reality. Like they keep talking about the off season for football in July. But like, these players are eligible for the Hall of Fame. Who do you think deserves the vote for the Hall of Fame?
All this talk about Gronk
and Brady?
Gronk and Brady now? Like, oh my God, it sucks.
And then even SportsCenter's talking about like, oh, Tom Brady accidentally went to the wrong house. So he did a home invasion. Ha ha. Funny Tom Brady. That was not funny. No, weird is you see a grown man open the front door to your house and he was not even welcome? That's just weird. Knock on the door, dude. Yeah. Ring the doorbell. Text, hey, I'm at your door. Don't just open another man's door.
He was probably like, why doesn't
Mike? No, because Tom Brady was going to go visit his teammate. It turns out it was the next house. But still, like, dude, why are you opening the door? Text him. Like, hey, I'm outside.
I'm outside.
Yeah, dude, who just opens the door? That's rude. What if they're not ready? What if it's like John Wall? Like, I open the bathroom in the bathtub and then, you know, like, oh, snap, and then he falls and tears his Achilles. That's on you, Tom.
Yeah, our Cespedes is coming through.
Or imagine, like, you walk in and, like, turns out they're arguing. Like Antonio Brown arguing with his baby mama. Like, oh, boy, why'd I come in? I should just stay outside.
Yeah, really?
But, yeah, like, this pandemic is really just showing, man, sports is boring. Sports talk is boring.
Oh, for real. Like, you know, they keep showing the same three Mets games on SNY, like, all the time. It's the same three, you know, they're showing Wilmer Flores' walk-off. They're showing the Mets clinching the division, and they're showing Johan Santana's no-hitter. I've seen all three of those games, like, literally, like, 20-plus times each. I don't need to keep seeing them. No.
Yeah, I hear you. They should just show like they should show games from the past where on this day the Mets won this game.
Yeah, you know, other places have been doing that.
Dodgers on their own network, they've been trying to do that, like the games from like today's date, May 4th, maybe a May 4th of a different year where they won, like let's say 2013, like May 4th, 2013, the Dodgers beat the Phillies this day. They'll show that game. So it's all about honestly, like, that must be boring when they keep showing like the same five games.
Yeah, they show like the top five games of the decade, and they show the same three, and I'm like, where are the other two?
As good as those games were, ooh, we took L's.
Yeah, really. And oh man, so we'll see. But I heard New York today is being pushed back from May 15th opening to like May 25th. Yeah, well,
I saw this past week they had as good as they're trying to flatten the curve, there was a spike in coronavirus cases. So man, what can you do? What can you do?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to get in shape, but I can't do it.
No, dude, just work out in your room and just download a few apps to say how you can just do these simple workouts in your room. I've downloaded three apps just to make sure I can do different workouts, whether it's arms, legs, cardio, core. Yeah, even if it's just, you know, the workouts lasting like 10 to 15 minutes, you know, it's something that'll get you going with a good sweat.
I see you. All right, bro. I'm gonna get going.
All right, time for me to get back on this grind and make sure I graduate.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh man, I want to give you and the listeners one more announcement just in case. So this Friday,
yeah, man.
If all you people remember, we've had a guest on the show, you know, Ms. Jacqueline Alvarado. Actually, a quick announcement about her. She has officially made the e-board of Voices of Victory. She is their secretary, ooh, and I forgot what other position she had. So, you know, nice little snap for her. But also, me and her have decided we are going to create our own podcast. Yes, Jackie and I will be doing our own podcast, and we did a test run last Friday. We did pretty good.
What the hell, man?
Hey, surprise, right? Like, look at you. Like, on our show, we're announcing a surprise. Look at that. I'm not leaving you. We're still doing our show. Me and her. Now, Jackie and I will be doing our show on Fridays. So our debut will be this Friday. We're going to try to drop it on Friday or as early as Saturday. It'll be a different show than this. You know, we like to just talk about whatever comes to mind, mostly sports, but if not, any type of entertainment. Well, me and her are going to be doing. We're going to talk about a little bit of what's going on in general, with certain things, or what's just going on with us.
I don't know how I feel about it. Just think of it as
you know, me expanding the horizon. Yeah, and of course, if you want, you know, if we feel like we can do that, you know, we'll have you on. So our show is going to be called Café con Leche Time. Café con Leche Time. That will be the name of our show. So we're also going to be dropping our episodes on Spotify soon. So, you know, so in case anybody wants to take a listen, we will be debuting shortly.
All right.
It's not competition. It's not a contest.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a contest to see which episode.
No, because it's going to be different days. So Jackie and I will be recording our episodes Friday and probably dropping them also on the same Fridays or at the latest on Saturdays.
How do you plan on?
We're also going to be doing it through Anchor.
Ah, yes. Okay. All right. And we're going to end things on a good note.
That's a fun bomb.
That bomb on me. Mr. Michael. Yeah, okay. Mr. Michael Collette will hopefully be joining us.
Yeah. That'll be the last episode of the semester. Yeah, so you know what? Like,
probably, yeah.
Let's end it out with some good humor, some good comedy.
Yes, of course. Did you see what he posted the other day?
It's an 80s workout video?
You know, in his 80s.
What's it called?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot what that type of workout's called. Oh, well.
All right.
All right, yeah.
I'll talk to you later, bud.
Well, I'll talk to you next week. Okay.